This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Phantom Castle by Vasily Mahanyenko, translated by Boris Smirnov, narrated by Jonathan Yen. Chapter 1. The Bloody Tears of Tavia.
Enough lounging around!
Anastaria's mocking voice pierced the fog in my head, forcing me back to reality. For several moments, my brain refused to work, as though it mistrusted its own senses. But at last this levy of mistrust gave way, and my thoughts rushed, burbling back into my mind. Let's see. I am lying on the ground, so my latest attempt at flying must have failed. And everything hurts, as though all my insides have been broken, so my landing must have been a hard one. The one small comfort is that, judging by the system time, only 10 minutes have elapsed since my fateful crash, and I won't have to respawn after all.
"Should we poke him with a stick?"
Plinto's voice joined Anastaria's.
"Maybe he'll get a move on. What's he doing here? He's not figured out his own abilities yet, but here he is, butting in. If I'm a dragon, I have to learn how to fly somehow, don't I?"
"Oh, someone's going to get poked, all right," I grumbled. I gathered my strength and sat up, leaning against the tree which, memory served to remind me, I had just crashed into a few minutes ago.
"How's Klutzer?"
"Still alive, it seems. Story of my life," came Klutzer's hoarse voice from the other side of the tree, indicating that he had suffered no less than me, yet at the same time bringing me some more relief.
So my crash landing into the tree had not sent my rider to respawn either. A little consolation, that.
"Are you going to stay there for long? You have another 40 minutes of training ahead of you. Be so kind as to get on with it," said Anastaria, seemingly unconcerned with my health.
"I don't feel well. I'm hurt, and I'm upset. And here she is, thinking only about how to extend our stay with our tormentor. This girl is heartless.
What idiot decided that she was perfect anyway?"
The first month of our stay with the Vampire Patriarch was coming to a close, and I can attest with full confidence that this was the darkest period of my gaming career, as hunter or shaman. The first 2 days had passed in pleasant ease. The Patriarch treated us to various edifying delights, regaled us with engaging tales, and, in the company of Ishni the Unicorn, showed us the wonders of the Dark Forest. The green waterfall alone was worth it. From an immense boulder, 50 meters high and surrounded by enormous and, thanks to Ishni, living trees, a small stream set out on an epic journey. 300 kilometers later, this stream turned into one of the many tributaries of the Nelda River, the second largest in Malabar. And yet even this much tinier headwater stunned us with its beauty. The limpid and delicious water, which instantly restored energy and hit points, fell from a boulder whose very presence in the dark forest gave rise to numerous questions, such as, for instance, how it even got there. It's precisely this kind of careful attention to detail on the part of the location designers that causes certain players to dedicate their entire gaming lives to traveling Barleona. To them, a few days' flight on a griffin is nothing for a chance to see a marvel like these. The green waterfall, the perfectly circular lake into which it tumbled and around which grew rows of green, white, and red flowers, the renewed glade of the Guardian of the Dark Forest. in 2 days we saw so many astounding and lovely sights that we were entirely unprepared for what was to follow. On our return to the patriarch's castle, we were all a little overwhelmed by our contradictory feelings. The patriarch's face expressed pride in his warriors' impeccable performance of their duties. Ishni seemed preoccupied with something. The vampires were clearly happy that they had pleased their ruler. As for me and the other players, we were slowly coming to terms with the melancholy realization of what awaited us. The mighty citadel that had for 20 years resisted the assault of the fallen had become a giant training ground. Obstacle courses, swinging pendulums, training dummies, imitation bosses, and then further pendulums and further obstacle courses. I didn't even know the proper names for most of these devices. Yet I could tell by the satisfied look on the face of Barleona's bloodsucker-in-chief that this period of training would bring dividends in short order. The one upshot was that, as a shaman, I figured that the running paths and obstacle courses did not concern me. Let the rogues and warriors have their fun with them. Anastaria, Barsina, and I would spend the time studying our magical abilities. How mistaken I was. Initially, we were all assigned a single quest called simply training. This was a rare, almost unique quest that suggested that for 4 weeks we would undergo training under a special methodology, which had been developed by arcane monks, and which, in the end, would enable our consciousness to transfer a portion of the skills obtained in the game back into reality. While doing this quest, players could leave the game 3 times a day for a duration of 2 hours. We would fail the quest if we left more than thrice, or for longer than 2 hours at a time. Since the quest reward was a one-time bonus of +15 to all main stats, no one wanted to risk failing it. Accordingly, having popped out into reality once, all 3 of the free players were back an hour later, ready like a band of noble gorillas to easily and painlessly begin working for their destined reward. Ha ha, the naivete of children. 28 game days, under the leadership of the patriarch, fused together into a single grueling day filled with exhaustion, pain, suffering, and then more exhaustion. Morning training was followed by training, and then a short break of training. After that came lunch, in the form of training, and only then a full-scale, in-earnest training, after which we finally received a short rest in the form of training, right before getting down to the evening's training. Before we turned in for the night, we had to do a warming-down training, and during the night we were awoken 3 times for some more brief, hour-long trainings. Even that first month at the Pryke Mine had not exhausted me as much as the Patriarch's minions managed this time around. Only a few days after training began, Draco, whom I'd summoned as soon as I got the chance, began to turn up among the bushes, wondering whether any of the tormentors were around. The Patriarch had explained right away that it was vital that the totem's skills were improved and that as a result he would personally allot 2.5 hours each day to working with the dragon. He put him through all the paces, forced him to breathe fire, pushed him up to acceleration level 4, developed his coordination, hit accuracy, and taught him low-level flight. 2 weeks of this madness brought my totem up to level 48, and the verge of a nervous breakdown, when, popping up in the bushes yet again, he flat-out refused to continue if he was forced to go to that damn fang-face who sucks both blood and spirit. To my astonishment, when I relayed this message to him, The patriarch merely hummed with satisfaction and informed me that one dragon's training had finally reached its conclusion. "On the other hand," he added after a bit of thought, "now we can begin to train the other dragon. In 2 hours, I expect to see you at the pendulums in your dragon form. Until then, it's time to do some running. Chop, chop!" I spent the rest of the time learning how to fly. In other words, in addition to my regular training, I started flight training. It's worth mentioning that the blessing of additional training did not alight on me exclusively. The patriarch found time for Anastaria, the siren, and Plinto, the vampire, as well. While one of us was in class, the others were running the obstacle courses or grinding their main stats. Barcina, Anastaria, and I worked on our intellect, the rest on rage and agility. "Man, put on the diadem," said the patriarch sanguinely during yet another training session. "Klutzer, stop jogging and get over here. You're going to be the lab rat." After 2 weeks of training in dragon form, I was quite adequate at keeping myself up in the air for the entire 25 minutes. This was the maximum that my 5th dragon rank allowed me. According to the patriarch, I would have to speak with Renox if I wished to reach past the rank milestones, that is, ranks 5, 10, and so on in intervals of 5. Only the head of the dragons could decide whether someone was worthy of promotion or whether it was still too early. And yet, the patriarch also flat-out refused to teach us how to open a portal to the land of the dragons. As he explained, when the time comes, I'd find my way there on my own. "Do you understand your mistake now?" asked the patriarch, approaching me. "I didn't make any mistakes," I replied, rubbing my sore feet with my sore hands. "Is it my fault that Klutzer is fat and keeps trying his best to fall? I didn't even have time to get off the ground properly before he started panicking and begging me to let him down. Though, wait. My mistake is that I even allowed a free citizen to take a ride on my back in the first place. That's what pets are for."
"Strength, man," the patriarch launched into his lecture, completely ignoring me. "Your strength is too low, and we need to do something about that. You're not simply a shaman. You're also a dragon, and a dragon must have strength. Even though we have only a day or two of training remaining, you and I will use it to our utmost. Riander," the patriarch called over one of his aides, "Mayan can rest for another 2 minutes, and then he's off to intensive strength training. We're going to turn this little gecko into a true dragon."
Having made a dramatic pause and looked over the players' smiling faces, the vampire went on.
"Anastaria, I'll be expecting you in 2 minutes in your siren form. Everyone else, head on over to the obstacle course number 2. Klutzer, stop trying to hide behind that tree. You're not Mayan's totem. Stop pretending you're sick and weak. Go on now. The obstacle course awaits you."
"Training quest has been completed. All main stats have increased by 15. Energy increased by 10.
I never imagined that completing a quest in a video game could make me so happy. Grinning like a madman, I allowed a pendulum to knock me out of the obstacle course, fell to the earth, closed my eyes, and didn't even entertain the idea of getting back up.
"Move over," wheezed Anastaria, and collapsed beside me. I hadn't even the strength to protest. What kind of move over can there be when you have an entire forest to collapse in? But no, you just have to lie down in the same spot I'm resting in.
Man!
If I wasn't mistaken, Plinto had collapsed somewhere nearby as well.
Don't you have several quests like these? I've acquired some enemies in these 12 years playing this game. I'd love it if you shared some of these quests with them. Let them sweat a bit, too.
He was probably expecting some reply from me, but I didn't even have the strength to move my tongue. Actually, forget strength. I hadn't the desire.
Rolling over on my back with a groan and staring at the blue sky through the crown of trees, I opened my stats and began to study the results of all that training. Had all this suffering been justified or not?
Well, well, maybe it was worth asking the Patriarch for another round of 4 weeks. But hardly had the thought occurred to me when a convulsion gripped my entire body. My body simply refused to suffer a trial like this again. Turning my head, I saw the siren laying beside me. Anastaria hadn't even had the strength to leave her form once training had ended.
Stacy, what are we going to do about the barbarians? We have to summon the Herald in a few days, and we haven't even discussed how we're going to get to that castle.
Why, we don't have to do much as it stands.
The girl's answer stunned me.
The Emperor could not simply give you the castle. It's too great a present. At the same time, he was compelled to give it to you somehow in return for all we had done for Barleona. Guernica is mortal now, and I'm certain that soon enough there will be a new update that will create a third empire. It's silly to assume that the dwarves can't do anything about some raids. All we need is to gather our strength, get on the warpath, and go get our castle. Or did you think that I would refuse my title? I figured all this out a long time ago, but haven't had a chance to tell you, what with this training and all. I haven't been this exhausted in a long time. Did you know that they turned off our sensory filters? That was the only way to ensure that our skills would transfer to reality.
I couldn't give a damn for such skills, muttered Plinto. Why do I, an overweight, old and ailing man, need to know how to climb trees? What am I going to do with such a useless talent? Spook random passers-by in the street?
You've got a point, Stacy smiled. Tarzan will have to have a nervous smoke and re-examine his life when he sees you climb up a tree and have it sink beneath your weight. This training was merely beginner's difficulty, interrupted the Patriarch. Everyone should rest and gather their strength so we can continue. A couple of months will suffice, I think. The next stage should be much more interesting. Quest available. Training, level 2.
A stillness descended upon the training area. Lying on the ground, I opened and closed my eyes several times, as if trying to dismiss the notification floating before them, informing me about the upcoming dose of pain and horror. In the second level, which would last 6 weeks, all main stats would be increased by 60 points. It would begin 2 months from the present day. The quest even came with fine print that explained that the Patriarch would come get each of us individually, regardless of where in Barleona we were at the time. even if we were on a different continent.
I am looking forward to seeing all of you in 2 months, said the vampire in a satisfied voice.
As much as the players hated the exhaustion and pain, no one wanted to decline the quest.
And now I must leave you. If we are to have everything ready by the deadline, we must begin our preparations for the second training session right away.
A crunching sounded in my ear. My projection, to whom I had grown so used to in these 4 weeks that I hardly noticed him anymore, crawled out onto my shoulder and began to devour a spectral apple. We had discovered that I was the only one who could hear the crunching. My projection remained soundless to the other players. On the one hand, this was a good thing, and yet, at the same time, it was no fun, since we couldn't hear, for instance, the songs of Anastaria's tiny siren, who would twirl in front of a mirror to arrange her hair, or, for that matter, the litany of oaths streaming from Plinto's vampire, who wielded 2 poison-green daggers and made such a menacing face that one couldn't help but smile.
"No way!" exclaimed Anastaria, as a new notification materialized before my eyes. "Dear player, we would like your permission to use your image in a movie about the events that took place in Beatwick Village and the Dark Forest. By way of remuneration for the use of your image, we are happy to offer you 0.5% royalties from each movie. Remuneration shall be issued to you by the Emperor, and the commensurate amount will be automatically transferred to your Bank of Barleona account."
"A movie, huh?" I said pensively. "Who wants to be a movie star?"
"I'm down," replied both Anastaria and Barcina practically simultaneously. "The corporation doesn't make movies that often to say no to such an opportunity."
"I agreed, too," added Plinto. "Playing for fun is one thing. Entering the game's lore is something else entirely."
Leidy, Eric, and Klutzer weren't around, and I didn't feel like opening the chat, so I also pushed the accept button. The simple fact that they wanted to make a movie compelled me. But hardly had that system notification vanished when a second appeared.
"Dear players, we are pleased to announce that a new campaign featuring a new hostile empire has been completed. As of the current moment, Malabar and Cartus have entered into a ceasefire, which will be in effect until Guernica is defeated. Please consult the guides for rules governing interactions between players from the different empires. Please take this opportunity to watch introductory videos about the launch of the 2 new scenarios, the Cartus Gambit and the Secret of the Dark Forest. Enjoy the videos. Price of each video, 50 gold.
QED, said Anastaria contentedly.
"We assisted in the creation of the Third Empire, and so the barbarians shouldn't give us any trouble. They're practically going to give us the castle and the title for free. Baroness Anastaria. It has a ring to it, I must confess. What do you say we watch those videos? Wow, they're 2 hours long each."
I never imagined I would end up watching my own adventures, mouth gaping with surprise. Beatwick, the wolf rescue, baiting the dark goblins, the search for Sklick, the Cartus Castle, Anastaria's invitation, the argument with Elizabeth, the battle, the expedition to the Dark Forest, the Guardian's Glade, the Castle of the Fallen, the trials of Guernica, the judgment of the goddess. The corporation had created a masterpiece. 4 hours flew by in an instant, leaving behind them the pleasant sensation of job well done. It was too bad that now all the scenarios had ended. I definitely wouldn't mind participating in another film.
Ding! You've received 1,439,288 new messages. Do you wish to view them?
It has begun, grinned Anastaria, producing her portable mailbox.
2 million messages in 30 minutes! A little more, and my personal record for number of messages will be smashed.
I have 1.5 mil myself, I said at a loss, and opened my mail. I was not used to such popularity, and had no idea what to reply to messages such as,
Hi, well played. If you need a mage, let me know.
Or,
Man, let me join your clan. We'll adventure together. Just make sure to introduce me to Anastaria.
It was like everyone had gone mad and spent the last half hour writing us letters.
Judging by our popularity, you should enter the Miss Malabar contest this year. You'll smash the competition to bits, Plinto said happily, getting to his feet. Are we going back to Annhurst, or should we summon the Herald right away?
We still have 2 days, so let's go back to Annhurst, take care of some business, and go check out the barbarians afterwards. I, for one, need to reach second rank as jeweler.
I agree. We need to stop by Annhurst first, said Anastaria. The portal's on me.
Then let's do it this way. We'll meet tonight around 8 at the Golden Horseshoe to decide where we go as a clan from here. Stacy, since you're the most experienced, we'll hear and discuss your advice first. If someone else has other ideas and wants to share them, wonderful. As for now, let's pack our gear and set off for the capital.
How can I be of service?
Muttered the jewelcraft trainer, without looking up from his workbench where he was polishing an opal. Carefully grinding away micron after micron, the gnome was shaping the stone into the form of a heart. Judging by the immense mound of raw stones and the tiara lying nearby with empty sockets, the jeweler had his work cut out for him.
"I'll beg your pardon right away. I have no time at all. The Duchess wishes to pick up the tiara for her daughter this very day, and she only brought it in yesterday evening. I simply have no time."
"I can help," I said automatically, as soon as I sensed the opportunity for a quest. Helping the jewelcraft trainer cut some hearts wouldn't cost me a thing, and give me the chance to earn a bonus or two.
"Really?"
The gnome finally looked up and beamed like the sun.
"Man!"
The trainer yelped joyously, jumping from his seat.
"It's been a while since I've seen you. I heard that someone had crafted the dwarf warriors from the Commandant chess set, and I strongly suspect, scratch that, I'm sure that it was you. Make an old man happy, will you?"
Producing the figurines, I handed them to the gnome, who began to turn them around and examine them closely for defects. Not likely.
"Very nice work,"
the jeweler intoned, returning the dwarfs.
"Perfect, I'd say.
What did you say has brought you here?"
"I need to increase my jewelcraft rank. I am already a level 105 jeweler, and I'm still wandering around with my first rank. I also wanted to find out how the sale of the stone rose recipe went."
"The sale went well. I sold the recipe for 73,000 gold. Here's your money."
The gnome handed me a small stack of jingling coins, which instantly vanished in my hand. As per custom, 30% of the gold went to the Empire, reminding me that I had limited rights as a citizen.
"As for the second rank, I'll train you, don't worry. But listen, Either you pay me 10,000 gold and go on your way, or I train you for free, but you help me with these here opals. What do you say?
How do you need me to help you? I didn't want to say no to a profession quest, and was ready to spend some time on working with the stones.
The way I see it, I don't have time to craft the tiara and frame all 4 stones by the Duchess's deadline. If you agree to help me, I'll teach you. If you agree but can't manage, you'll have to pay, but the price will be doubled. What do you say?
Quest available. An opal tiara for an opal bride. Description, quest type, rare. Limitations, only for jewelers.
I'll do it.
Very good.
The gnome rubbed his hands happily, promoting my gem-cutter specialization to rank 2.
You'll get your next rank at level 150. As long as you have crafting, you'll be able to craft items with up to +1,000 stat bonuses. At the moment, in case you don't remember, your maximum stat bonus for one item is at 180. Now, take a seat here, and take this sample. In 4 hours, I want 4 hearts like this one. I'll start working on the tiara in the meanwhile.
Look, Mayan is here. Get the camera.
The hushed whisper coming from the open window almost knocked me off balance. Were they talking about me? I almost dropped my instruments when I looked out the window. A crowd of about 40 had gathered on a small square abutting the jeweler's house to watch me work. 2 mage players, leaning against the window, were projecting an image on the wall of the house so that the entire crowd could see my labors in all their glory. My treacherous hands began to shake. I hadn't yet developed the habit of working under the scrutiny of potential critics, who would later go around yelling to every willing hearer about how they could have done it all so much better. It turns out that extreme fame, in addition to everything else, comes with a serious headache, too. No matter. If they want to watch, let them watch. The main thing is they don't get in the way. Doing my best to forget the audience of players, I studied the template of the Opal Heart and read over the quest description one more time. An opal bride. The phrasing on its own made me think that there was something amiss here. Since when were there opal NPCs in Barleona? Especially brides. Sir, I turned to my trainer. I understand that time is against me, but tell me, what is an opal bride? What has she done to require opals? And why does the tiara require hearts in particular?
Why, what else can be crafted out of an igneous opal? Hearts, I believe, will fit quite well. I even have a sample. If you wish, though, you can craft something of your own. The important thing is that it's mounted in the regular way, like in the sample. As for the bride, Malabar and Cartus have concluded a peace for the first time ever, even if it's only a tentative one. So the Duchess of Caltenor has offered one of the Dukes of Cartus, Urvalix is his name, I believe, to form an alliance by marrying her daughter, Tavia, to his son, Tredeol. The girl is only 18. She's never seen this Cartossian before, so she threw a tantrum, screaming that she wouldn't go and that's it. Later, she relented, or was made to relent. However, she imposed one condition—
that she would marry Tridiol only with an opal tiara on her head. The little scamp knows that there aren't any like that to be found in Annhurst, or even Malabar. The Cartossian is arriving today, and the Duchess's servants are due to pick up the item in 3 hours. So I figured that Hearts would look best of all. She's a bride, after all. But enough. I have to get back to work. I still have to deal with the frame. Please, do your best, Mayan.
Does it have to be 4 stones? I asked at the last moment, before starting to make the cuts.
Well, look here at my design.
The gnome showed me the template of the tiara, which may as well have been a crown. Silver leaves, a diamond bezel, and 4 sockets arranged almost in a line. It took me a valuable minute before I understood what I disliked about the gnome's proposed tiara. Suddenly it dawned on me. The hearts, the red hearts, arranged in a row, would look awful on this marvel, and Tavia, when she saw the result, would throw such a tantrum that Tridiol would have no choice but to head back home brideless. But, hell, what am I on about? These are only NPCs we're talking about, playing out a scenario about 2 reconciling belligerents. They cannot not get married. And yet, I'd bet a tooth that those hearts would look woeful in that tiara. I examined the heart pattern, the pile of blood-red opals, and shut my eyes. Copying was not our method. The young lady is about to be married against her will. Well, of course, such things happen. By the way, why does she have to marry the Cartossian anyway? Because her mother, the Duchess, said so? Yeah, right. The girl could approach the Emperor and ask him to overrule her mother's wishes. Unless this union was exactly what the Emperor himself and the Dark Lord wanted. A first step, a token peace dove, a sacrifice that would unite the 2 states in their struggle against Guernica. Well, why not? Barleona featured quite advanced social mechanics, and the sacrifice of 2 NPCs for the sake of the Empire's goals made for a vivid scenario. I'm sure that the marriage would be publicized everywhere, and the young couple would be turned into heroes, martyrs suffering for the sake of their country. Hold right there. My eyes alighted on the first opal. Having carefully cut the mount, I hesitated a second before deciding to bring my plan to fruition. So, you want hearts, eh? Well, well. 4 stones arranged in a series. 4 bloody symbols of the bride's sacrifice for her country. Item created. Tavia's bloody tear. Description. A girl's pain and despair flowed into her tears. One of them fell on an opal, which, absorbing it, took on its form. Required to complete quest. +4 to jewel crafting. Total 109. +1 to crafting. Total 8. There, I said happily, once the light in my hands had dimmed, and the sense of satisfaction from having advanced my main profession left my long-suffering body. As nice as it felt, I had to get a move on. I still had to go to my clan meeting today. I offered the stones to the gnome and added, "If you mount them on the tiara..."
"There's no more time to mount them, Mayan,"
the gnome interrupted, looking at the stones with sadness in his eyes and not taking them from my hands.
"The Duchess's servants came by for the tiara yesterday. The wedding is due to begin in 2 hours.
Octavia will attend her nuptial ceremony in an ordinary coronet. When the Duchess's servants came by, I saw that you had failed to make the hearts like I had asked you. You were in the throes of creation, an admirable condition, one could say, but you did not manage the jeweler's task in time. So I quickly whipped up 4 stones, without even having the time to mount them into the coronet properly. The tiers you crafted are very beautiful, and they would look perfect in the tiara, but forgive me, my young colleague, I need to be alone now. You owe me 20,000 gold, like we agreed. You have failed the quest.
Quest, an opal tiara for an opal bride, failed.
What do you mean they came by yesterday? I asked, as soon as the gnome's words sank in and the notification appeared.
Have I been working for an entire day?
22 hours, to be precise, the jeweler replied. Your clan members came by, too, and tried to bring you back to consciousness, but nothing they did helped. I had no more luck than they.
A cold sweat pierced me through and through, while my fists clenched of their own accord. There was a clan meeting yesterday.
Master, I...
Man, I already know all I need. You are a rare craftsman indeed, but one should not rely on you when one needs something finished by a deadline. Allow me to leave you. I do not wish to see the Duchess when she comes in to berate my work.
Shaking his head, the gnome left the room, without even locking the door to the workshop. Not that there was much worth stealing. A handful of low-level precious stones, and even then, only for those with meanness or theft. Before leaving the place, I used my amulet to get in touch with Anastaria.
"Stacy, hi. It's Mayan."
"The sleeper has risen," came the reply, in which, judging by its tone, I could distinguish both mockery and relief.
"Sorry, I can't talk too much at the moment. How about this evening? Just promise me that you won't go into your trance again."
"Where are you?" I asked by reflex, though I hadn't intended on doing so. It wouldn't be polite of me to interrogate Stacy, but I was pretty curious about where she had gone off to.
"At a wedding of 2 NPCs. There's a huge celebration taking place here today. The Emperor and the Dark Lord are hosting a grand event at the palace. It's quite beautiful as far as events go, by the way. It's too bad you're not here. The extra invitation will go to waste."
"But I thought the wedding is still 2 hours away," I objected.
"I can still make it. It's a 10-minute run to the palace from here."
"That would be lovely, of course. But there's a strict dress code in effect. Do you have a suit?"
"No."
"Wait! Riander's shop is not far from here. Meet me at the palace gates in 20 minutes.
Riander the gnome was one of the NPC traders that the developers had introduced with a single purpose in mind, to create masterpieces that would draw yet more money from the players. Masterpieces come in different shapes and sizes. Some people paint paintings, some sculpt sculptures. Riander sewed clothes. Along with its numerous craftsmen, Barleona had an enormous amount of tailors, both players and NPCs. Not everyone could afford expensive clothes, and yet everyone wanted to look nice. As a result, Riander did not hold a monopoly on costumes for players, but he did hold a monopoly on perfect costumes for players. Gowns, dinner jackets, hats, boots, Riander did it all, and did it so well that even the Emperor did not hesitate to order outfits from him.
"How may I be of assistance?"
the shop owner asked me, adjusting his glasses. Creating Reander, the developers had tried their best to recreate everything that they imagined about a respectable master tailor who knew his worth well, but did not like to show it off. Dressed in a checkered suit of his own creation, the gnome made a very pleasant impression.
"Do you wish to order a suit?"
"Forgive me, master, but I do not have time for that," I said, understanding perfectly well that the price I would have to pay had just increased 2 or 3-fold, automatically. "I need a suit for the Emperor's reception, and I need it right this moment."
"Begging your pardon, my dear sir."
The gnome shook his head, while the imitator generated the conversation options.
"All of my suits are made bespoke, and..."
"Honorable Reander," I said, digging the hole in my pocket a little further. What I was about to do was madness, an utter waste of money. Yet I refused to lose the esteem of my jewelcraft trainer. Maybe it was just a matter of premonition, but I was morally ripe for a sizable expenditure. "I beg your pardon, but I only have 10 minutes. I understand very well that suits are made to order and that you may not have any ready ones, but I simply must try anyway. You see, I need to get into an event underway in the palace in order to save the good reputation of a jewelcraft master, which I myself have imperiled."
"You can rush the order for 40,000 gold, replied the gnome after a little thought. "The dinner jacket will be 200,000, the shoes another 40, and the cane 10. That will come out to a total of 300,000 gold. If it is a matter of expedience and necessity for the sake of one of the craftsmen, I am willing to oblige."
"Forgive me, but the items and prices you mentioned only amount to 290,000.
"How could I forget?" Reander smiled. "A bow tie. A suit requires a bow tie. And it happens to cost 10,000.
"How long will it take you to make the suit?" I asked, trying to conceal my feelings. 300,000 gold for a piece of software code that my mind would perceive as pretty clothes. 300,000 sacrificed for the sake of my own premonitions. If I am wrong and get nothing in return, I will have to re-examine my attitude towards my feelings.
2 minutes. Do you agree?
A window asking me to approve the transaction appeared before my eyes. Hesitating a moment, I pushed the yes button.
"In that case, I will now leave you. Have a seat. I will return shortly."
"Man, you continue to amaze me," said Anastaria when I reached the palace.
To give Reander his due, in addition to rushing the clothes, he ordered me a carriage that took me to my desired destination. I owe him thanks for that, at least.
"I won't even ask how much you just spent. I have a general idea of Reander's prices. Shall we go in?"
"Let's do it," I said, releasing the carriage. "Stacy, I need to see Tavia."
"Who?"
"The bride, and I need to see her before the ceremony."
"That's impossible. She might not even be in the palace, for all we know."
"It's incredibly important, Stacy. Please help me." The girl sighed heavily, exhaling loudly. Shutting her eyes, she thought for a little, and then asked,
"How important is it?"
There wasn't any point in keeping the truth from her, so I told her about the jeweler's quest, the opals, and my failing the quest. Stacy looked at the four opal tears, clucked with astonishment at their beauty, mumbled something to the effect of, "No one ever made anything like this for me," and finally said, "Mayan, Mayan, what is your obsession with wriggling your way into situations that all other reasonable people prefer to avoid? Let's make a deal. I will help you under one condition. You will show me your properties, quests, bag, anything I want to see. I'm tired of having to guess what you have and what you don't. I'd like to know for sure." "You got it. And my only condition is that you respond in kind. My properties and bag are too private to reveal just like that. I'd like to see who I'm dealing with, too." "You miser." The girl smiled and offered me her hand. "Deal?" "Deal," I replied, shaking her hand. "You have shared your properties with Player Anastaria. You may access the properties of Player Anastaria." "What are these markings on your map?" the girl asked almost immediately. "One is from Ishni, I remember that. What about the other two?" "Let's talk about that later. You promised to help me. The ceremony is in an hour," I reminded Stacy, who was engrossed in studying my virtual innards. "What a bore you are, taking away such a treat. Okay. I call upon a herald. I require your assistance."
"You called me and I came." A portal opened behind us, disgorging an envoy of the Emperor, who immediately launched into his customary warning. "If your summons was a false one, you shall be punished."
"I am aware of the rules, herald. By the right granted to me by the Emperor, I request an urgent meeting with His Excellence. The honor of the Empire is at stake."
"Please enter the portal," replied the herald, without even bothering to inquire what the matter was.
I'll have to ask Stacy how she managed to acquire this power. It seems useful.
"The Emperor is ready to receive you."
"Let's go,"
Anastaria said dogmatically.
"I'm doing you a favor. Don't bungle it." "Are you the jeweler who made this monstrosity?" asked the young woman, looking at me with disgust. The Emperor was extremely surprised by my request to meet with Tavia, but once I had told him my tale, he agreed to give me a chance to fix the tiara. And only the tiara, since Tavia, according to the Emperor, was a lost cause. She had been brought to the palace under escort by the heralds. The girl flat-out refused to get married. In her words, she would have rather jumped off a cliff than wear the monstrosity her mother had brought her. Currently, as one of the girl's herald guards obligingly disclosed to me, the tiara was buried under a pile of clothes in the corner of the room. "Esteemed Duchess, you are right to consider this unfinished item ugly," I addressed the girl, bowing my head. "But if you give me the chance, I can prove that..." "Prove what?" the girl cut me off. "Prove that I simply must become a slave? That my mother has conspired with the Emperor and that they have agreed to sacrifice me?"
"A slave?" I asked, surprised. My surprise must have been so evident that the girl deigned to answer me.
"Yes, a slave. I am being treated like an object. No one has even once inquired whether I wish to get married or whether I need to. They never even let me see what Tridial looks like. Under the laws of Cartus, arranged marriages prohibit the bride and groom from seeing each other before the ceremony. What if he is a wrinkled old monster with whom I'll have to spend the rest of my life? Is that not slavery? That's not the destiny I imagined for myself, dreaming of a prince on a white steed.
But if they insist on deciding for me, there will be no wedding. I cooked up this excuse with the tiara in the hopes of delaying the ceremony and coming up with something else. But, alas, nothing came to mind. The herald followed my every step. I had no chance of escaping. I hate them. I hate them all so much. Forgive me, but... I began, but cut myself off. What could one say in the situation that Tavia had found herself in? Offer support? At the moment, she needed that like a dog needs a fifth leg. Compassion? Should I explain to her that she has to suppress her emotions for the sake of the Empire? Uh-huh. And I suppose the best way to begin is by saying, after all, you are just a piece of software. If the script has you getting married, what are you going to do? Go against your function? You better watch out. They can always delete you. Get out, said the girl. The ceremony will begin any moment now. If I am destined to be a slave, then I'd prefer to spend the last minutes of my freedom in solitude.
Talk about a game with a social aspect.
Tavia, despite the Duchess's direct request, I did not want to leave her.
Furthermore, I realized that I couldn't. The developers had conceived a scenario that unified the two empires by morally sacrificing two young people, or rather, two young programs, which made it easier to accept. Later on, Tavia would, of course, come to understand the happiness that she had been granted and would become happy and content. All the channels would broadcast this story, fostering in the players their long-forgotten desire to improve themselves and develop. But all of that was still to come, while, at the moment, the girl was faced with having to throw herself onto the sword. Like hell. Duchess, I cannot rescue you from your fate. The herald will come in an hour to lead you to the ceremony. You will become the wife of Tridial, and there's no way to change that. However, I could, I stuttered, not really knowing exactly what I wanted to do, but then composed myself and went on confidently. I could arrange for you two to meet. The customs of Cartus do not apply to me, after all.
Meet him?
The girl perked up, forgetting her wish to be left alone.
But how? They won't let me out of this room, and I have no idea where they're keeping him. Mayan, your offer is surprising, but impossible. I admit, I'd be willing. Oh, why hide it any longer? I have obtained a dagger, and I was planning on killing myself before the ceremony, since that would be my last opportunity. I can't bear to live my life with a person who will make me nauseous, and unless I see him before the ceremony, I won't know whether I will be able to bear him. This is so important for me, and...
Tears ran down the girl's cheek as, in a whisper, she added,
"But it's impossible."
"On the one hand, yes, it's quite impossible," I agreed, smiling at the girl. "But no one promised anything ordinary. The time has come for fairy tales, though I will need you to trust me if we are to pull this off."
"What must I do?"
the girl asked decisively after a moment of contemplation.
"Close your eyes and give me your hand. I will do the rest."
Astral plane. How these two words resonate in the heart of a shaman. They may not be as florid or flowing as a phrase of Shakespeare's, but at the moment only these words would enable me to do what I intended. If no one was allowed to leave their room, then no one would bar the prisoner's spirits from meeting in the astral plane. I only hope that Tridial would meet us halfway and accept my invitation.
"Our greetings to you, brother.
The supreme spirits of the higher and lower worlds addressed me with the gloom overhead and the light underfoot. Unlike their incarnations in our world, the spirits preferred to use their regular voices when they were at home. In other words, they did not seek to terrify or impress anyone.
As the High Shaman, you have the right to enter the astral plane, to grasp the peak of shamanism and the deeps of summoning the spirits, to soak up our instructions. Such is the function of the astral plane. But no one may bring guests here, especially guests who are not shamans themselves.
I bow my head before the grandeur of my lords, I said respectfully. I am prepared to suffer any punishment for my temerity. I only request that you hear my reason for undertaking such a drastic step. The thing is that today this girl here is to be married. I indicated Tavia, who was huddled behind my back like a terrified mouse, and, as I turned to the girl, I froze and lost my train of thought. A player enters the astral plane in the same guise as he has in the normal world. At any rate, that's what had happened to me and Anson the Pansa. I had not had the opportunity to discover what would happen to an NPC. Until now, that is. Standing beside me was a pillar of pure white flame. It was so clean, sincere, and radiant that I instantly realized that this person's spirit was singular. Her spirit was pure. Unwittingly, I stepped up to and touched this wondrous flame. A gentle, almost impalpable warmth enwrapped my hand. My instinct told me that the girl had simply grabbed me in search of support, and perhaps the hope that, in doing so, she could leave this place. However, my eyes told me that my hand had been swallowed by this white, shimmering mirage. "I am in need of your aid, O my lords." It was only at this point that I understood what I had to do. While the spirits listened to me, allowing me to remain with my guest in the astral plane, I told them everything from the beginning. I started with the crafting of the tiara and ended with my wish to introduce the couple to each other before their marriage, for, I pointed out, it is unjust to be forced to bind your life to that of another person whom you do not know nor have ever seen. Especially so, considering that in doing so, you destroy the stranger's fate along with your own. Even if it's for the good of two empires, it's still unjust. It just isn't a shamanic thing to do. Not one bit shamanic.
We have heard your words, Chief Shaman. Await now our decision.
Man, maybe this is a bad idea? Tavia asked quietly, still holding on to my hand. In all honesty, I felt a twinge of desire to have some fun with the girl, to embrace her and feel her pleasant warmth with my entire body, not just my hand. But I controlled myself. There were better things to do at the moment. When I next make it to the dating house, I will have the imitator dig around in his sensations and recreate this moment. I've heard that they can do that sort of thing there. I will not forgive myself, Duchess, if I haven't made some effort to assist you, I replied, a bit dramatically. And yet the 2 points attractiveness that I was counting on rolled in my favor. A little more, and I would reach 35. And that's a milestone, a third of the way there.
We have made our decision, the spirits returned. Sacrificing one's fate for the sake of one's country is the true calling of a patriot. We shall not oppose this marriage. However, you have brought the bride to the astral plane so that she may meet her future husband. We have no reason to object to this.
Addressing the girl, the spirits switched to the regular voices.
Tavia, you will have only a minute to understand the spirit of Tritiol. We shall summon him.
The white flame grew brighter, reflecting the emotions of its owner. An entire minute to...
Man!
It seems the spirits were not too happy with me, since they switched to their typical bombast again.
You have violated the laws of the astral plane, and you shall be punished. We shall determine the penalty later. For now, prepare to meet your guest.
I just knew that they would make an example of me either way. If I don't help, it's bad. If I do help, it's even worse. How am I supposed to play this game with that kind of attitude? Another spirit appeared several steps away from us. If I understood correctly, this was Tradial, the true son of Cartus, for this spirit was wholly black.
What is this? Another of my father's ploys to persuade me to marry?
Came a pleasant male voice. Now they've decided to scare me with the astral plane, and... It seems that at this point he noticed Tavia and me. I haven't the words to describe what took place at this point. Turning on my camera, otherwise my clan would have killed me... I witnessed the two flaming pillars stop across from each other and then blend together, forming a single whole. The ensuing blaze glittered with the entire color palette. There was an explosion, and I was left alone in the astral plane. Tavia and Tritiol had vanished.
Two halves have become one,
the spirits proclaimed triumphantly.
"'Hi, Shaman Mayan, we have enacted your punishment. "'You must take this newborn stone with you from the astral plane. "'You may not sell it, exchange it, gift it, or discard it. "'Ying Yang will be with you either until your last day "'or until you understand what you must do with it.' That is all.
Ying Yang? Carefully examining the place where the explosion had happened, I saw a smallish, two-colored stone lying on the ground. My heart skipped a beat. This was the Ying Yang, the stone that had no analogs in reality, and, as the manual informed me, the stone that the Emperor's scepter was fashioned from, as well as a part of the Dark Lord's crown, some difficult-to-pronounce item of the High Priestess Iluna, and the main altar of our goddess. Place of creation unknown, method of crafting unknown, users also unknown. Basically, besides its name and the places it had been used, there was no information about the stone at all— except that it was unbelievably beautiful. I don't know how the developers achieved this effect, nor, more importantly, why it had to be achieved in the first place, but I had to hand it to them. Everyone found the stone amazing. There was nothing extraordinary about it, a typical rock with two colors that were constantly moving like clouds of fog in a bottle, without, however, mixing with one another. The spectacle of a line transforming into a spot and then into a blot and so on was so mesmerizing that it took me several minutes to look away. Until then, I had no idea that a player could acquire the yin-yang. It was astonishing that there was something in Barleona, a game that sought to strategically get as much money as possible from the players, that could not be bought. And yet, this is exactly what the yin-yang was. One could not buy it.
"Thank you, Mayan,"
came a joyful cry, and Tavia embraced my neck. Here's that embrace I wanted after all. It's too bad that we weren't in the astral plane any longer. Hardly had I picked up the stone when the spirits cast me right out, like some naughty cat. A kind bunch, they.
"Now I am absolutely certain that Tridial is my destined love. Thank you, thank you, thank you."
The girl pulled away and kissed my cheek.
"Remember, if you ever need something that I can help with, make sure to let me know. I will never forget my friends."
Achievement earned. Someone likes me. You have gained +100 attractiveness with this NPC. All bartering with Tavia will cost you 2 times less. +100 attractiveness? Who could have thought? If I didn't know for certain that Tavia and Tridial are a single unity, then I could start kissing the girl right here on the spot and receive the same in kind. This way, however, I guess the Duchess loves me like, I don't know, like a brother. Stop. What's got into me? The wedding's about to take place, and there are still problems of appearances to consider.
"It's too bad about the tiara,"
said Tavia, as if reading my thoughts and letting go of me.
"I'm really looking forward to the ceremony, but I'd rather not wear that monstrosity that your trainer created. Wait, you told me..."